Welcome to Shot in the Arm Podcast with Brett Denton, where he believes in maximizing your potential. It's your podcast for high performance, ultimate power, and limitless living. We get into life hacks, performance tips, and optimizing strategies for your life. So get ready, because we're about to get another shot in the arm.
Welcome to the Shot in the Arm Podcast. I am your host, Brett Denton. Today's shot is with Dr. Heidi Reeder, author of Commit to Win, How to Harness the Four Elements of Commitment to Reach Your Goals. Get ready for a heavy dose of using the science of commitment. Roll up your sleeve, relax, breathe, and let's stick that needle deep for today's Shot in the Arm. So Heidi, how can we best harness the power and the science behind commitment to help us achieve our goals?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on to answer that question. And before I get into the actual specifics that the research suggests, I want to tell you a little bit about where this research comes from. It's really interesting. Commitment isn't something that a lot of people talk about, even though it's absolutely the foundation of our lives, the foundation of our job, our relationships, our goals. Everything comes down to, you know, what have we decided or maybe just kind of slided into committing to in our lives. And researchers from a lot of fields have been interested in this. Researchers from economics have been interested in our commitments because they want to know what purchasing choices do we make and do we stick with certain brands over time. Business and workplace experts want to know, about commitment because they want to know, can they keep their employees around and what do they have to do in order to keep people not just satisfied, but staying there over time, even on the days they're not satisfied, right? And then people from psychology and social science have been interested in commitment because they want to know, you know, what's up with the divorce rate? Why are people not sticking together in the same way that they used to? And so what's been really amazing for me as an author is to take a look at the research. It's been about 40 years of research, at least. That's 40 years of modern research anyway, from those all those different fields from, you know, economics to business to psychology. And to be able to see that they consistently show that commitment isn't just something we decide to do, like I wake up today and I decide to be committed to something. It's actually something that can be predicted by how we behave and how we think about things. And they've been able to distill it down to four specific elements that predict to a great degree how committed we are to almost anything, jobs, relationships, health regimens, and so on. So I find this like really exciting because usually you think about, you know, oh, I'm not committed, I must be a bad person, or I'm really overcommitted, so I must be a bad person, yeah. Right? So how can I start to think about, wait, let me be mindful here. What do I want to be committed to, and how can I actually use the science of commitment to help myself get there? So that's what I'm interested in talking about.
Yeah, and I think most people, everybody on the face of the earth should be interested in hearing what the science says about this. And sometimes a lot of it, like a lot of science, is counterintuitive to what we would actually think, right?
Yeah, sometimes it is interesting because sometimes it absolutely enlightens or clarifies or gives new words to something we already like somehow knew was true and like, oh, now I can really see it because I've thought this, but I didn't have a language for it. And then other times you go, whoa, that's kind of a reverse psychology kind of thing. That's interesting. Yeah. And I think that this, I call it the commitment equation. I think this equation has a little bit of both.
Yeah. So let's go over that. What is that equation? And can you explain it to us a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to try to put it as simply as possible to start, and then we'll go through each of the elements in turn. But so again, there's four elements that when you put them together, they have a very strong predictive capacity when it comes to commitment. And it has to do with, number one, how much do we really treasure? And that's my word for it. It goes by benefits or rewards or anything like that. But how much do we really treasure this job, this relationship, this medical regimen, health regimen, whatever. What's the value I see in it, and how high is that? Of course, the higher the better, if you want to be more committed. We'll come back to that in a minute. But so, a high amount of treasures is what we're looking for with commitment, and then have to go along with that, point number two or element number two has to do with how troubling is this commitment? How many difficulties, how many challenges, how annoying is it? What cost do I have to pay in order to be committed? What do I have to put up with? So ideally for high commitment, so far we have two elements, a high amount of treasures and a low amount of troubles, right? It's your basic cost reward. You see the economic research in here. It's your basic cost reward. But that just tells us about how satisfied we'll be in a relationship. I really treasure this relationship and there are hardly any troubles for me. Or on the bad days of relationships, right? I kind of like this person, but actually they're really kind of annoying me even more so, right? My satisfaction is off based on that little ratio there. But commitment is more than just satisfaction. So that's why there's two more elements that we need to consider. And those are contributions and choices. And I'll come back to that in just a second, but I want to emphasize this for a second. About satisfaction being different than commitment. Have you ever been really satisfied with something, but you still dropped it? Like, have you ever seen somebody who's in a really great relationship and they don't want to stick with it?
Right.
Or something like that, right? Or they have a great job, but they're still complaining about it and saying they're going to leave. And you're like, buddy, you've got the greatest thing. Or you could have somebody who's absolutely miserable, but they keep doing it. They keep sticking with it anyway.
Yep.
They complain about it. You know, I hate where I live. I hate this city. Da 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 da. Can't stand it. Never leave,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So that's why we have to take into account, or researchers have taken into account, two more elements. So how much do I treasure it minus how troubling is it, plus how much have I already contributed to this commitment? And by contributions, I mean, have I invested my time? Have I invested my energy? Have I invested my creativity? Have I invested a sense of my own identity? How much have I already given to this thing? If I've really given a lot to something, even when I'm not very satisfied with it, I'm more likely to stay with it. And you can imagine that in all kinds of, you know, with a business, with a house that you've been fixed, the money pit, right?
Yep.
All the stuff that we may be committed to that's really not even that satisfying anymore. So treasures minus troubles plus contributions minus choices. And what that means is that we're more committed. Here's the counterintuitive part that you might have been thinking of. We're more committed when we actually don't think we have very many other options,
mm-hmm.
right? So that might be kind of sad in some cases, right? Like, I'm really committed to this relationship because I don't think I can get anybody else. But that's a big factor in commitment, is how many other options do I see? So commitment is highest when I really treasure elements about this commitment. I'm ignoring or I'm managing the troubles. I've put a lot into it. I've contributed high levels of myself, and I've got the discipline to kind of ignore or put down the other options I run across.
Yeah, and I see that choices one as being a double-edged sword, because I think that a lot of people, especially a lot of people that we work with, we're actually forcing them to see a bigger, better option. But on the flip side, you also have the opportunity to see way too many options and think that things are available that aren't possibly available for you. And therefore, now the thing that you do have right in front of you, you're not enjoying as much as you should, or you're not respecting as much as it should. So
Can I give an example of that? Because there was this really great research study. This one's on relationships and reality TV. And what they did was they looked at people who watched a lot of reality TV. I'll use the example of The Bachelor, that were in romantic, you know, they were in marriages. Excuse me, they're actually married. And the people who believed that shows like The Bachelor were realistic were less committed and satisfied in their marriage than the people who maybe didn't watch the shows or watched them, but the whole time thought this is totally unrealistic. So if you think that something is realistic for you that isn't, it can take you away from committing to something that is very realistic and very powerful and awesome, right?
I do. I see that. And I could see that probably with the show The Biggest Loser as well. You know, they show these people who are dropping these huge amounts of weight.
Yes.
And that's not realistic, you know. So
Right. And so why should I commit to this little,
right,
you know, realistic routine, sort of day by day, take it day by day routine that I have, when that looks like a better option, even though it's not a realistic option, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, so how can we manipulate this equation to make sure that we're using the science to achieve our goals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple of things, and I'm going to work in an example here too, because I think examples are really helpful to see this. But if you want to be more committed to something in your life, I highly recommend that you write an inventory of what you really value about it, right? So let's say it's working out and losing weight, since you brought up the case of the Biggest Loser, what do I really value about that? And I would highly recommend that folks don't just look at the extrinsic or external rewards they would get from it, like, oh, people give me compliments, or I'll make a better income, or, my blood pressure will go down, there's some external indicator, but also the internal indicators, the intrinsic reward of how will I feel? What level of respect will I have for myself? How good will I feel on a daily basis? And really, really crystallize what those treasures are and hold them in your mind as much as possible. And the reason I suggest this is that as human beings, we are really drawn to troubles. We are really drawn to focusing on the negatives, the downsides, the costs, right? I'm too tired. I don't have the right equipment. People are going to laugh at me. I don't have the support I need. We can really seem to focus on those as human beings. I think it's part of our natural evolution is focus on what's wrong so that we can keep ourselves safe,
Yeah.
But in the case of going for our goals, it absolutely does not serve us to focus more on what's difficult than what's positive. But on the other hand, some troubles, some difficulties of what you want to be committed to are need to be fixed, right? I mean, if you're at a gym or something where, it's really hard to get to and it takes, 20 minutes to get across town or something, and that really is holding you back, maybe that's more than an excuse. Maybe it really is in your way. And if you join the gym across the street, or you put on, have some great music that you know you're going to listen to in your car on the way, or you come up with a solution, then that trouble won't be so troubling. So we can be more committed when we really focus on the treasures and we emphasize them, especially the intrinsic ones, and we start to figure out ways to manage the troubles and not let ourselves do that very human thing of obsessing over them and focusing all of our energy on them.
Yeah. And so just to kind of summarize and break that down, basically what we want people to do is make an inventory of both all of the troubles and all of the treasures, and then go to work on really emphasizing and focusing on a daily basis on the treasures, and then going to work and saying, how can I make these troubles better or diminish these troubles?
Yes. Right. How can I minimize them? How can I look for some advice? Maybe I need to do something creative to make whatever X is, not so difficult. So, so anyway, that's the first half of the equation, or the first two elements. So the third element, as you may recall, was to contribute at a high level. And so what of myself and my resources do I need to start putting into this commitment? Knowing that the science says very clearly that the more I contribute to something, the more attached I'm going to be to it, and the more I'm going to want to follow through on it. For some people, doing a little side bet, coming up with like, I'm going to make a bet with somebody that I can do X or Y, then I've got a little skin in the game there, so to speak. Or can I put my time and effort into something that I'm going to not want to give up on it once I've, in a relationship, disclosing a lot of who you are, it's going to be harder for you to want to just give up on that relationship when things are difficult if you've given a lot of yourself to it, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that, to bring it into the real world, in a real world sense, when you get something for free, even if that thing was, they did a study, you might actually came across this, but they did a study where they had a professional violinist, I believe, go out and play.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He was just playing right. in the subway or whatever.
Yeah. And this guy gets I don't know how many, the guy is world-class musician.
Right.
And they were giving the guy dollars and whatever, and they didn't understand how great he was. And so, I think that brings it back. And so when you get something for free, you give that much value to it. You give the value of, hey, it was free. Whereas if you paid, $1,000, $10,000, whatever for it, it's a whole different value. Tony Robbins, I've heard that he said this. I've never actually heard it in person, but I've heard that he says for every dollar is a reason, right? And so for him to get results, his programs are fairly expensive, but that is all on purpose so that he can actually get the people results because they are now invested in that program. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. If they paid $5 to get in, they might be like, well, that was worth a good $5,
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, good. And then the fourth, so we talked about the treasures, troubles, everybody's going to have it memorized by the end of this session here. High contributions, and then the ability to ignore your other choices. And so it's about saying, okay, how do I take my other options off the table? right? If you want to be in a committed relationship, stop checking out J-Date or whatever. You know what I mean? Like you can't allow yourself to go on Tinder and be looking at what all the other options are. If you really want to be dedicated to a particular job, you don't want to be going on one of those, I don't know, monster jobs or whatever and seeing what all the other options are. It seems like, oh, how could that hurt anything? But the more you're fantasizing about all your other options, that's taking energy away from whatever it is you actually want to be committed to. And people with goals have to really discipline themselves in this way, right? If I want to write the next great American novel, well, I can't think about surfing and I can't think about, you know what I mean? Like I have to stay focused, at least for this particular amount of time, on what it is that I want to accomplish through my commitment.
Yeah, I think that's extremely important for this day and age. So if you had to boil it all down, I know there's a lot there, but if you had to boil it down to one thing that somebody could do today for their shot in the arm to improve their day, what would it be?
That's a great question because I actually get this asked this question a lot. Like, where do I start? If I want to be more committed to something, like, okay, out of the four factors, where do I start? And I've, since getting asked that question a lot, I think it's the easiest to start with the contributions. And what I mean by that is make an investment today. If there is something that you want to grow in your life, make an investment in it today. Sign up for a class. Tell your friends that you want to do this. Put some money on the line. You know, put it on a t-shirt, you know, make a stand about, find some way, because any little investment you make in your goal today can grow and grow and grow over time.
Awesome. So basically, guys, you need to get some skin in the game as soon as possible to reach your goals. I appreciate Heidi, and I will talk to you real soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brett.